All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Not everyone is built for the international stage. They can't handle the pressure.
This is Frankly Speaking, presented by Betway. If you're going to place a bet, bet on Betway. Ontario only, 19 plus. Please play responsibly.
It's been 6 years since we've seen Rick Nash on the ice in the NHL. A star from Jump Street, Nash is now a rising star in the front office.
Rick was named the general manager for Team Canada in the upcoming IIHF World Championships.
This is a player who dominated the Greater Toronto Hockey League, amassing 115 points in 34 games, and then went on to leave his mark in the OHL with the London Knights. Nash was selected first overall by the Columbus Blue Jackets in the 2002 NHL Draft, and he did not disappoint, scoring in his debut.
And it's Rick Nash, first NHL goal!
Nash made the all-rookie team that year and then followed it up with a season to remember, scoring 41 goals, enough to tie Jerome Iginla and Ilya Kovalchuk for the Rocket Richard Trophy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ilya Kovalchuk, Jerome Iginla, and Rick Nash.
Nash continued to rack up goals, assists, and several other accolades with the Blue Jackets, Rangers, and even the Boston Bruins, but it was his time with Team Canada that set him apart from the rest. Nash represented Canada on the international stage on 8 occasions, medaling in 6 of them, including 2 Olympic golds.
Canadian players are standing. All of Canada is standing. Count it down, Canada. You've got another gold.
In 2019, Nash was forced to retire from professional hockey due to an injury he sustained the previous season. A career that spanned 15 years and over 1,000 games seemed to be coming to an early end. And even today, 6 years later, there are players older than Nash still skating. But Nash didn't sit idle. Then GM Jarmo Kekalainen brought Nash back into the fold in Columbus as special assistant to the GM during the 2019-20 season. That role has evolved, and Nash was promoted as the Director of Player Development in 2021. Fast forward a couple years, and Nash was named GM of Team Canada recently as they prepare for perhaps the most important world championships in years, with 2 seasons of best-on-best international play to follow. In my conversation with Nash, we discussed his growth within the Blue Jackets organization, representing Team Canada as an executive, finding a way to network in the game, and his approach to this year's Worlds. Here's my conversation with Rick Nash. Rick, I'm curious what word comes to mind when you see yourself in a graphic with Hockey Canada announcing that you're going to be GM of the World Championship team this year. Any emotion with that?
Yeah, Frank, a lot of emotion. Obviously, it's a lot of honor to represent your country, you know, whether you're a coach, trainer, doctor, player, and to be a manager of the Men's World Championship team is a true honor. It is still pretty cool to see when you're talking about that graphic.
So tell us what you've been up to. You retire after the 2018 season, and obviously you've had a couple roles with the Blue Jackets. Special assistant you started out as to the general manager, and then you've been in player development since. Tell us about your journey off the ice since you stopped playing.
Yeah, so I've been into it full-time. I'm a firm believer that in the hockey business, it's tough to be into it part-time. And it's tough to get a good grasp on players, prospects, current players, kids coming into the draft if you're in it part-time. So a year and a half about, I did a special assistant with Jarmo Kekäläinen and had a great experience and tried to be a sponge and take in as much as I can from him. And after that, I took over the development side of the Columbus Blue Jackets. I was in charge of all our prospects under our umbrella who weren't playing for our big club. So, you know, had a lot of fun doing that, try to help kids achieve their dream, you know, reach their goal of becoming a Columbus Blue Jacket.
So when you're doing the player development work, is that on ice? Is it hands-on or is it traveling around to meet guys? What's that like?
I haven't been on the ice as much with them. I've obviously done a lot of NCAA guys. And it's a little tricky with that. You know, with some of our junior players, we have Derek Dorsett, Tommy Cross, and Jarkko Ruutu doing a lot of the actual coaching with the kids on the ice. You know, from my standpoint, it's a lot of watching video, writing reports on these kids, keeping close tabs, building relationships with them, trying to know the kids, you know, on the ice and just as well off the ice. So that's kind of been my role, traveling around, watch them play live, making sure that we have a great indication on what type of player they are moving forward.
Is that something that you always wanted to do? Or did you think about, were you tempted at all about coaching? Like, is this off ice sort of more managerial role? Is that more along the lines of what you wanted to try and tackle?
Yeah, it was. And then, you know, right when I got retired and took, you know, a couple months off, I knew my last couple of years in the NHL, I was always interested in how the teams were built, you know, whether it's the cap system, whether it's prospects coming up, free agency. I was always interested in that aspect of the game. And I didn't even really want to dabble in the coaching. And after coaching my son's 9-year-old team, being assistant coach, that confirmed that I definitely don't want to get into coaching, and I want to stay on the management side of organizations.
Oh man, I got some stories for you coaching some 9U hockey these last couple years. It's been a wild ride, but being so close to the game, like, do you miss playing at all?
For sure. I miss the rush. I truly believe there's nothing that you can simulate, you know, having nationwide arena packed with 18,000, MSG packed with 18,000 people coming out, the lights are off, it's a playoff game, playoff atmosphere, scoring a goal. There's nothing that can simulate that rush. I miss the camaraderie of the guys inside the room and, you know, going to work every day with your 25 brothers. So there's a lot that I miss about the game. You know, I don't really miss, you know, waking up some mornings and not being able to bend over and being sore all the time. This role that I have in Columbus allows me to make my own schedule to see our prospects. So I do get some better times with the family and with the kids that I wouldn't have for sure if I was still playing.
Yeah, that balance is important. But let's talk about the upcoming Worlds, Rick. And it's a fascinating tournament this year because there's just so much ahead of all these federations that are putting together teams, not just for this Worlds, but also then for the Four Nations in 2025 and then the Olympics in 2026. So there'll be a lot of eyeballs on the Worlds this year. I'm guessing you're working hand in hand with Doug Armstrong in terms of communicating throughout this process on the sort of overall look of what this might be?
Yeah, for sure. That's a good question, Frank, because, you know, like you mentioned, with the Four Nations coming up and with the Olympics, it's a very important time for all these countries and all these federations of ice hockey. So we are working close. You know, obviously you saw the announcement a few weeks back with Doug Armstrong kind of overseeing most of the Hockey Canada stuff for the men. And I've been working with him closely on our depth charts and our potential selections once we get there and start making some calls. So it's an important time for a lot of these guys, a lot of these players around the NHL. They haven't played, you know, at the international level for an Olympics just because they haven't been allowed to play. So I truly believe that these world championships are going to be a huge stage for them to come and show what they can do. And it's important. And you're already hearing the rumors from other countries of some of the players that are accepting that I'm sure you've heard. This tournament's going to be a big deal, and we're going to need Canadian players to step up and get over there.
Yeah, and that's sometimes part of the challenge with the Worlds, right? You go through the slog of an 82-game season. You might be tired. Your body might not be in optimal shape in terms of some bumps and bruises. And then, hey, do you want to go spend the next 3 weeks in Europe playing? It's not always at the top of everyone's to-do list. Some guys are like, hey, sign me up. I want to play, you know, put a Team Canada jersey on, no questions asked. But this year, with kind of what is awaiting in the future, is it going to be easier this year to maybe get players to sign on saying, hey, I want to be on Hockey Canada's radar for Four Nations and for the Olympics?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I've lived it personally, and you know, I've been called four or five times after a season. You know, it's not always easy, but you know, some of these guys should be using it as their playoffs, right? You wouldn't be saying you're tired or you're a little hurt or you're mentally not there, whatever it might be. And you're not going to be saying that if you're going into the Stanley Cup playoffs. So why not use this tournament to gain that experience for when your NHL club does take that next step into the playoffs? And that's what I tried to do when I went over. And that's what I tried to explain to some of these kids. Now, in saying that, I think from last time me and Shane Doan did it 2 years ago, it was tough to get some players. I think it's the landscape's a little different now with having these huge tournaments. And
you were also kind of dealing with a little bit of a COVID situation then in 2022. Not that it was at the forefront, but still maybe some different regulations or restrictions in Europe.
For sure. You're exactly right. There was some, you know, I remember still doing testing to get over there, testing to get home. I think they loosened it up. It wasn't the bubble that it was in 21 in Latvia, but you're totally right. There's different reasons. And hey, listen, guys are going to be having babies. Guys are going to be having weddings. We understand it, but it's too important of a time right now for Hockey Canada with these next tournaments coming up to not have our best players go and show what they can do at an international level, because I do believe the international game is a little bit different than the NHL.
So you mentioned working with Shane Doan in 2022. You were the assistant GM that year. Take us behind the scenes of what it's like prepping for a Worlds. Like, when do you actually start beginning to look at the standings, the players that might be available to you, and when do you start making calls?
We've been obviously tracking the standings. It's making things a little difficult with a lot of the teams winning to stay in it. So the race has been tough, and it makes our job a little tougher to pick this team. But we decided that we're going to start making calls as soon as the teams are mathematically out, and we can figure that out. Obviously, there are some teams out, and there has been a few calls that we've made. We haven't named anyone yet. We haven't got any 100% commitment as of yet. You know, that's how the process is kind of working. You know, I would like to, in the next week or so, to have, you know, a full list of players, or at least half a list of players. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You know, I saw a couple people had reported in the last few days, Hockey Canada has asked Connor Bedard, like, okay, I don't know if that's news. The Blackhawks have been out for a little bit, and Bedard is one of the best young players in the game. But in terms of how you want to build this team, obviously there's, you know, you're trying to collect at some point as much talent as you can. Is there also a team building aspect to this in terms of trying to maybe fulfill some different roles, or is it more like an all-star team when it comes to the Worlds?
I feel like I've played on both styles of those teams that you just mentioned, where, a guy like myself had to take a defensive role, whether it was 2014 in Sochi or play with Jonathan Toews and Mike Richards in Vancouver against the other team's first line, playing PK, not seeing any power play time. So you're exactly right. There's definitely different styles of teams. I think we would like to have a little combination of that. And I also think what will dictate that is the answers we get from some of our early calls will dictate the type of team we're going to have. I think we want to make sure we have a strong power play in a tournament like this, where it's, you know, single game elimination. Hopefully you get there. I think special teams is going to be huge. And on the other side of that, you're going to need some good PK guys. You're also going to need some guys that can close out games, some guys that are familiar and comfortable playing with a one goal lead late in the game. So to answer your question, I've kind of beat around the bush on it. It's really going to depend on the first couple guys say yes or no on how the team's going to be shaped out. So it's kind of like trying to hit a moving target.
You know, you're obviously making a push because you want these guys to be part of it. Is there any push on your end to say, hey, look, you participating in this world is going to help you for Four Nations or for Olympics in terms of just additional viewings for us? Or does it not work like that?
I think that's fair to say from my standpoint. I don't know how you feel about that, but for me, that's a fair statement. I don't think we're ever going to tell a guy, hey, if you don't come to the World Championships, you're going to be off the Olympic list and the Four Nations list. But I would definitely tell a kid that might be a bubble player for those, you can go over and make a name for yourself, make a strong case for yourself, feel the pressure of wearing the red and white maple leaf at an international tournament, and just show that you can do it. And I think you can improve your chances. So that's how I view that question.
Because the Worlds aren't a big focal point here in North America while they're going on, you mentioned the pressure. Like, do you still feel it when you're playing in it?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I was lucky enough to play, I think, in one of the only world championships in the history of the last 10 years or whatever it might be, that was in Halifax in Quebec. And I mean, those two buildings were rocking, but I totally agree with you. When you go over to the world championships in Europe, it's such a big deal. And then when you're back in North America, you don't really hear about it as much. Stanley Cup playoffs is going on. I think this one's going to be a little different. And to answer your question about the pressure, I feel like any time you put on that jersey, there's pressure, whether it's under 16, under 17, world juniors, whatever it is. Any time you put on a Canadian jersey, you're expected to win gold. So I do believe that pressure is there. And I think this year, more than ever, it's going to be there with these international tournaments coming up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. When you're putting all this together, Rick, how helpful is it that you were on the ice? I know time moves fast, but not all that long ago. You played against potentially some of the guys that you're trying to put on your team this year. And also, if not, you can make a phone call to someone that you knew to say, hey, what's this guy like? What is this someone that I would want to have on my team? You can sort of bounce things off of players that you might know around the league.
Yeah, I think it's important to have that ability to have those relationships. And, you know, I always hear in your last couple of years, you hope to get into a management position. And, you know, you never want to burn bridges or anything like that going through your career. And I think I can use that to my advantage to find out about certain guys that I haven't played against, newer guys that have come in the league. But it's a good point that you bring up. You know, a lot of people are starving for inside information. It's the truth about the business that it doesn't necessarily make you a great GM because you played. It doesn't make you a great coach because you played. Some of the best have never stepped on the ice in the NHL. So it's about surrounding yourself with the right people, making sure you're taking in all the information, and then making educated decisions with all the information you have.
I wanted to bring this back to your time with the Blue Jackets, because as you're working through, you know, the different points in your career, gaining as much valuable experience as you can, is there something that's translatable from the work that you're going to do with Hockey Canada to then something you can put, you know, in your arsenal moving forward as, you know, a management candidate? Is it, you know, aside from the experience of building a team, is there a networking aspect to this that maybe, you know, Rick Nash didn't have before? You've played in Columbus and New York and Boston, but there's lots of, you know, managers around the league that I'm sure you're touching base with at some point, agents, players directly. How will this experience help you for the future for yourself?
Yeah, you're asking some really good questions there, Frank, not the normal questions that we get. You're 100% correct. I mean, these are huge, you know, networking opportunities and huge experience opportunities. You know, you're working with obviously great coaches, great Hockey Canada staff. You're working with great players. Like you said, you're calling all these different GMs to, you know, ask for permission to talk to their players. So you're building relationships all over the place. Now, the experiences that I'll bring back to Columbus and the knowledge gained from these tournaments, I think will help, you know, everyone who's involved with Hockey Canada or Team USA or any country, for them to bring all this information back to their home team and experience back is invaluable.
Taking it back again to Columbus, Rick, obviously this season has been hugely disappointing. This was a team that expected to take a step forward. You know, a thought from your perspective on how this team, you know, ultimately gets back on track with what's going to be a pretty big decision this summer in terms of the future of the franchise in selecting the next GM.
I think you're right. I think it's going to be a huge summer for the Blue Jackets to, you know, choose their next GM and someone to lead the way here in Columbus. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I can't speak on the process because I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. You know, look forward to see who's ever going to come in and being able to hopefully work with them.
Yeah, and this probably is a tough spot for you because John Davidson had mentioned at some point that the candidate is going to be external. As you've, you know, sort of put the time in over the last number of years, was there any part of you that's hurt by not being part of it? Or were you sitting back saying, hey, I've got a lot more that I need to learn before I could take the next step to jump to that, you know, level in an organization, and I'm not ready yet? Or did this being in your backyard with the team that you're obviously really passionate about, was this the one that you had circled?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think it's any secret that I want to try to grow, to the top of the organization here and eventually try to be here as long as I can. I think it's realistic, though, that sometimes, you know, other opportunities come up. You would always view Steve Yzerman as a Detroit Red Wing, but obviously his path to get into the top there was a little different. So I would never rule out anything. I think JD and ownership have a job to do to get this organization back, you know, where it is into the playoffs and competing for a Stanley Cup. So I'm going to focus on my prospects, focus on getting as many Blue Jacket picks as I can to the NHL. And I'm going to try to keep growing and try to keep getting to the top.
You mentioned Steve Yzerman, and that kind of made me think, is there someone that you maybe lean on or a couple people that you use as mentors to bounce things off of as you work through your own, you know, experience and your process? Who does Rick Nash talk to get more insight and how things work?
Yeah, well, I did when I first was getting into this, talking to, guys like Don Sweeney and Jeff Gordon, obviously Steve Yzerman, Mark Hunter was a mentor for me that I still keep in touch with to this day. Guys like Shane Doan, who's obviously growing within, different organizations all over. So those are kind of the guys that I look at. You know, I'm not in any rush. I'm gonna try to work my way to the top and do it properly and then try to check off as many boxes as I can along the way so I understand this whole business on my way.
And fitting with your backdrop as you build this next step of your career brick by brick. I'll leave you with this, Rick. 5 years from now, like, what do you have written down on your list of goals? Where will we see Rick Nash? What will you be doing?
Yeah, well, I hope to be at the top of an organization and trying to compete for a Stanley Cup. You know, Frank, I got close as a player. You know, I could almost taste it and I wasn't able to achieve it. So that drive inside me and that competitiveness still wants to compete for a Stanley Cup and somehow get my name on it. And, this is the avenue that I've chosen now to try to get my name on the Stanley Cup. So hopefully in 5 years, I will be there competing for it.
Rick, we love that the passion never leaves you. We enjoyed watching you chase that cup and we're going to enjoy watching the next steps of the journey. So thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Frank. You had some really good questions. Thank you.
Thanks to Rick for joining Frankly Speaking and to Todd Schirach from the Columbus Blue Jackets, as always, for coordinating the chat. I don't think Rick Nash was ever really known as a fiery player in his day, but it's so impressive to hear his passion for wearing the red and white maple leaf. It's clear that representing Canada is a big point of pride for him in his career, and it feels like this role is also the perfect stepping stone for him at the perfect time in his career. Just a little prediction from my end. If the Columbus Blue Jackets aren't going to take him seriously as a management candidate, this will be the best, perfect, most valuable experience for him to maybe take elsewhere someday. I'd have to think that working with the likes of Doug Armstrong and others within Hockey Canada will go a long way for Rick Nash. Can't wait to see it all unfold and see the team that he puts together in this year's Worlds in Czechia. That'll do it for this edition of Frankly Speaking. We'll leave you with Best of My Love by Skeleton.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.